بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of differentiation in the life of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. And alhamdulillah, we have seen various aspects of that in the life in Mecca, in the migration to Medina. I want to talk to you about one of the major issues or major places where we see this differentiation, that was in the Sulh Hudaybiyah. Now, if you think about this treaty, we all know what the treaty was, we all know the circumstances leading to it, and we all know how the treaty was very one-sided and unfair. We all know how the Sahaba felt about it, what they felt about it. We know that they didn't like it, the whole idea of the treaty. To the extent that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu even questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. But we see a fantastic thing which we don't see anywhere, which is that despite the fact that the Sahaba radiallahu alayhim ajmain did not like this treaty, despite the fact that they were very upset about it, they were very sad about it, and very frustrated and angry with the Quraysh for having treated them in that way, they accepted the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's one thing. Second thing is that we see, even before that, we see Rasulullah ﷺ taking a decision in that particular case in Hudaybiyah without consulting his Sahaba. And that was not his norm. Usually he always consulted the Sahaba. He always took their advice. He discussed things with them. But in Hudaybiyah, he didn't do that. He took the decision and he agreed to the conditions that Suhail bin Amr radiallahu anhu was putting, and at that time he was not a Muslim. Suhail bin Amr was putting those conditions, and Rasulullah ﷺ accepted them. And he signed this treaty, which was very clearly one-sided and so on. Now, obviously, we know he was receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But looking at it from the aspect of differentiation and trying to see it from the perspective of how do we connect it with our lives, because we are not receiving wahi. With Rasulullah ﷺ, there was of course the question of saying that he was receiving wahi, so he knew what he was doing. But today, if you say, well, what can I do as a leader, and how can I create people who are with me, who trust me to such an extent that they are willing to accept an unpopular decision about which I haven't even consulted them. I mean, I'm not recommending that this is what you should do. There are things which experts and great people do, which sometimes may not be a great idea to do it yourself unless you are in that situation. But we need to learn from this and say, how can I be in a situation where I am the kind of leader who is trusted, for want of a better word, trusted blindly, that I'm totally trusted, completely trusted by the people, and the people who follow me are willing to accept my decision even if they don't like it and even if they are not consulted about it. What can I do? Now, for that, we have to look back in the life of Rasulullah and see how did he build this trust. Now, it's an amazing thing in the life of Rasulullah that you see the way he treated people, and this is the crux of the matter. Trust doesn't get built at the time you need it. Trust is like a bank account. You put money into the account when you don't need the money, so that the money is there for you to withdraw when you need it. And that's precisely the situation with trust. So with Rasulullah ﷺ also, he built this trust at a time when he in his normal life, in his daily interactions with the Sahaba. Let me give you a few examples. There was this lady who used to clean the masjid. This was a black African woman, and she was a poor woman, and she used to clean the Masjid al-Nabawi. One day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi didn't see her. He didn't see, she was missing. So he asked the Sahaba, he said, where is this lady? They said, Ya Rasulullah, she passed away last night, and so we did her janaza and we buried her. Rasulullah got very upset. He said, why didn't you tell me? They said, Ya Rasulullah, it was middle of the night and we didn't want to disturb you. And that's why we didn't tell you. He said, he got upset. He said, no, you should have told me. You should have woken me up. You should have told me. I would have liked to come and do her Salatul Janaza. Anyway, take me to the grave. So they took her to his grave. They took him to her grave. And he stood there at her grave. And he stood there for a long time, and he made lots of dua for her. Now, here is this woman who is, from a worldly perspective, she's nobody. She's not a powerful leader. She's not, head of a clan, or she's not even related to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She's not part of his family. Nothing. Just a woman who cleans the masjid. But the importance that he gives to her. Now, these are the kinds of things that touch the hearts of people. You don't have to do something to every single person, but what you do with people generally, this is what creates a reputation for you in society, and people respect you on that basis. Similarly, I've mentioned this story many times. There was this young Jewish boy who used to, in today's language, we say he would hang out with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he used to be around him, he would come and visit him and so on, and he would be with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't see him for a couple of days. So he asked people, he said, "Where is that boy?" They said, "Ya Rasulullah, he's very ill. He's at home, he's very sick, and we don't know whether he will live or not." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Take me to him." They went to the house. The father of the boy, he welcomed him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went inside. He went and sat by the bed of the boy. The boy was lying on his bed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went and sat beside him. He took his hand in his hand and he said, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." He said, "Say la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah," and accept Islam and become successful. This boy looked up at his father. His father was standing on the other side of the bed. The father says to him, "Obey Abul Qasim, obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Now think about this. Here is this Jewish boy. His father is a Jewish person, and his father is telling his son in his dying moments to obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to change his religion and to accept Islam and to die on Islam. Now, how does that happen? Tell me. So, of course, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the boy repeated the kalima, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he died with his hand in the hand of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it is my aqeedah that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not let go of the hand of that boy until he leads him into Jannatul Firdaus bi ghairi hisab, inshallah. Now, think about this. How does this happen? How does it happen that a Jewish father tells his son in his dying moments to change his religion, accept the religion of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How does it happen? It doesn't happen overnight. Believe me, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen at that point in time. This is the result of how you treat people. There are instances where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, he would hold the hand of a sahabi. Many of the people around him were young people. There were boys, there were youth who were around him. Most of the time, they were not elderly old people. They were the older people, people close to his age, like Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, and so on, were few. People around him were young people. So Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would, take Mu'adh bin Jabal, for example, radhiyallahu anhu, young man, learned, a scholar of Islam. He was hafiz of the Quran, whatever had been revealed until that time. He was a judge. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given him the permission to make fatwa, to make judgments. He was a qadi. Now that young man, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sending him to Yemen as the judge and as the da'i to Yemen. Now this is the kind of relationships. There is a hadith where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the Sahaba, it is in this hadith is relating to the to wahi, to how the revelation was received by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This Sahabi says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was lying down with his blessed head in my lap when he received wahi, and he said his head became so heavy that I thought my thigh bone would break. There was so much of weight because of the wahi that he was receiving. Now think about that. The receiving of the wahi, of course, the hadith is related, is relating that. But think about this. Here is the Rasul of Allah. Here is, we are not talking about, somebody, a teacher or an elder or an alim or something, a mufti, a hafiz. We are talking about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are talking about the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is he doing? He is lying down with his head on the lap of one of his companions. Now this shows how close he was to them and how close they were to him. He was informal to that extent. But they, on the other hand, because he lay down with his head on their lap, they didn't lie down on his lap. Their adab was such that they said that, some of them said that they asked them, please describe the face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahabi says, I don't know because I never looked up at his face. They would sit in his company so still that it was as if they had birds perched on their heads, that they were afraid that the bird would fly away. They would sit in his company in complete silence. They would listen to him with rapt attention, with their eyes on his blessed face or looking down in with adab. Now, this was the relationship that he had, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with them, where each one of them felt as if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking directly to him. The way he addressed them, he would completely turn and talk to a person. He never talked to anyone over his shoulder. If somebody addressed him, he would turn. If he was walking, he would stop, he would turn, he would look at the person directly, eye contact, and he would speak to that person. Now this is the manner of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He literally, to help people, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent everything that he had. To the extent that sometimes he would even send Bilal radiallahu anhu to go and borrow money in order to give it to somebody who was in need. Now, this is the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and there are many such stories. The point is that this is what differentiates you as a leader. So here was a man who was strong enough to command an army. He was, you know, hard enough and tough enough to command an army. Yet he was so kind that he, when he was leading Salah, there were women praying behind him. If he heard the sound of a child crying, he would shorten his Salah. He would not continue the Surah, and he would shorten the Salah because he said, I don't, and they asked him, he said, I don't like to, for the child to feel sad, or the child to miss his mother, so I shorten my Salah. Now imagine, here is a man who, when he is in sujood, his grandson climbs up on his back and he extends his sujood so that he says, I want my son to enjoy what he is doing. I don't want him to fall down. Now, this is the kind of impression and image that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam created. This is who he was. And this is not a question of image, as in he was not doing some PR exercise. This is who he was. He was the kindest of people. He was the most generous of people. He was the most compassionate of people. And this is what won the hearts of the people. This is what won the hearts of the people. A man comes in, and a blind man comes in, he urinates in the masjid, people are rushing to catch him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, don't stop him in the middle, it will hurt him, let him finish. When he finishes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, throw some water, wash that away, and he tells the man, he explains to him, he said, look, what you did just now was wrong. This is a masjid, this is not a place to urinate. The man didn't know, he was a blind man, he didn't know what he was doing. But this is how he treats people. Somebody who even does something like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treats them with kindness, not with harshness. Now this is the result of all this, is that people begin to trust you and they love you so much that when the time comes when you need to take a decision which is unpopular, when you need to take a decision for whatever reasons you have, you are unable to explain to people why you are doing what you are doing, you are unable to take their advice, you are unable to take their to consult with them, still they will obey you, still they will follow you. They won't say, well, you know, you didn't consult me, so I'm not part of the decision. They won't say, well, you know, I don't like this decision, so I'm not part of it. They will not say that because they respect you, they love you, and they trust you. But as I said, this doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen at the time you need it. The money has to be in the account before you can draw it. And when do you put the money in the account? When you don't need the money. And that's why I remind myself and you that when you want to differentiate as a leader, look at what you do with the people who are with you on a daily basis. Every single moment of your life, every single interaction, every time you speak to them, every time you deal with them, All of that is your money in the bank. All of these are deposits in the bank of trust that you are putting in, and they will either come out in your favor or they will be against you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take the lessons from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to apply them in our lives and to differentiate and to become standard bearers of Islam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.